What is an oath? This is interactive, as you well know. What is an oath? Pardon? A promise? Anybody else? Go. It's okay. Nobody's going to give you a smackdown if you talk. Your word? It's your word, right? It's your oath. What's that? It's an oath. Let me give you the definition of it. Listen to this. It's a solemn promise involving a divine witness regarding one's future action or behavior. When you give your word to something, it's based in a solemn act. But let me tell you about the solemn act. The word solemn, do you know what that word means? Depth of sincerity. Depth of sincerity. Okay. What does sincere mean? Without wax. Did you know that? Sincere means without wax. What happened was they used to craft, you know, those water urns that you see them carry, you know, the like in some of the shows, the woman would have it on her hip, and, you know, water weighs a little over 8 pounds a gallon, 8.33 pounds per gallon. And those things hold 5 to 8 pounds. You know, that's 40, 50 pounds on their hip on top of that clay pot. And when that clay pot is fired, it is without wax when it's finished. But some of them, when the pot would crack, the person that fabricated it filled it with wax and painted over it. So what you would do is you'd take that jar and you'd look up at it against the light and roll it around. I hope sand doesn't get in my eye. And roll it around. And if they saw the glow of the light through then, you knew that it was insincere. It was fabricated. It was a lie in a sense of usage. Because when you put water in there, that wax is going to break down, right? So there's a truth connotation to sincerity. There's a truth connotation to a solemn pledge, and you're making that pledge before God. When you give an oath, do you understand that there is truth in it? There's honor in your pledge. There's an integrity. There is a depth of soul. When you give your word, where I come from, a handshake and your word means something. Nowadays, we contract and your pencil signature keeps things in order because we're forgetful. You'll find very rarely, will I promise anything? I promise you. I won't promise things often. Do you know why? I have butterflies that go around in my head. Some of you would call them squirrels. Mine are butterflies. Squirrels stay on the ground and climb trees and chase each other and ball. Butterflies are everywhere. So my thoughts and ideas are all over the place, and I forget stuff half the time. Ask Mary. You may have to remind me of her name one day. So they're just, it's all over the place, right? And so I have to be very mindful about what I'm getting my word to. But I'll tell you another thing. When I'm giving my word to somebody, I am representing who? Jesus Christ, right? So my word given to somebody is a representative of Jesus Christ. So when I tell you I'm going to do something, unless I said it in the midst of texting or while I was sleeping, okay, I'll do it, and I'm out. I'm not going to remember that, right? So I'm very careful about what I put my word to, what I put my hand to, what I put my handshake or my signature to. How about an oath? Any of you guys ever taken an oath before? Were you ever in the Cub Scouts or maybe in one of the military services? Could have been junior ROTC. Girl Scouts? Were any of you in the Girl Scouts? Do you remember your oath? Do you remember it? Do you remember your Girl Scout oath? Right? Boys, Cub Scouts, on my honor, I pledge to do my best to do my duty to God and country. Right? Cub Scouts has a little more, and I don't remember them. Back to Cubbies, right? Boy Scouts do. Okay, let's try this. Some of you have been married or are married, right? And you give a pledge, so help me God, right? You pledge to be there in sickness and in health. Do you understand sickness and health? That sickness part could be you wiping your spouse's backside because they can't control themselves any longer. And when you are a Christian and you make covenant before the Lord, that's a covenant before the Lord because you're giving a ring to somebody. That's the signal of what the commitment is. Because there's always, when you do an oath, there's always the hand raising or something like that, right? Do you solemnly swear? Raise your hands up. Just hold your right hand up and repeat after me. Or just say, I do. Do you solemnly swear that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, under pains and penalties of perjury? And you say, and you stick your hands on 45 Bibles, right? As if it's going to matter more. Right? Have you ever been a witness? I know, right? And the jury, there's a juror's oath. You know, I don't know why, but I get called up for every stinking jury duty. I'm going to stop voting. I'm tired of going jury duty. It hadn't happened in a while. Please, in a little while longer. They don't like when I go on there because they ask an infinite question for me, and they say, are you relating to any police officers? And I just need to start printing out a sheet of paper and just gluing it on there. I said, yeah, I am, and I'm pro cop. Because, you know, I'm a chaplain for the police department. My son's a sheriff. My grandson is a highway patrol officer and was a police officer before that. My nephew is a highway patrol officer. I got family members that are a fire department and medical first responders. We're a first responder family. We got a boatload of people that are in the military. And the defense person always comes up, Mr. Pierce, do you think you can legitimately consider this trial, even though there's a police officer sitting there? And so I'm going, you know what, let me ask you a question, because you asked me that question. I see a police officer pull somebody over going on a speeding violation. Let me ask you, I'll ask it to you this way. When you see a police officer pull somebody over, what do you think's happening, typically?
Busted.
Busted, right? Tell me when the lights go woo and you get that thing that goes through your body like you did something wrong, even though you were doing the speed limit, you were at 10 and 2 on the wheel, and they go past you, and then you go, oh, and the sweats turn to cool ice, right? Do you get that? Or is it just me? Okay, so it's that way. So I'm just going, I kind of tend to believe that the officer is going to do what they say they do, even though I've had a couple of my family members shot by police officers. You know, people make mistakes. That stuff happens. They're living, kind of. How about vows? That wedding vow. Let me go back to that. You know, when you make a signet, when a king would sign something, they would fold it up, they drip wax on it, and they put a signet on there, probably a mark of a ring, right, to commemorate that time. You know, when there's wedding, they're like this, and everybody's shaking their sweat, and usually if the guys or gals lock their knees, they're going to go woo, poo. But they bend their knees, and they're making a commitment to one another, till death do us part. And they put that ring on there. You know what that ring is for? It's not to bind them to a ball and chain, like some think. It is a reminder that that party said and meant what they said and meant that they were going to do. That ring means that it's not broken. That shiny means you're to be a reflection for Christ for one another. And the other part of that is that you will help that person become all that they are to be for Jesus Christ in your marriage. Did you know that? Some of you that are married right now, do you understand that when you do that, you are committing to the Lord a covenant agreement that you will help your spouse become everything that Christ wants them to be? Have you ever heard that in your vows? That's pretty cool. That's a big responsibility, and vice versa. And that ring is a reminder of that commitment. It's not for you to say, I'm married. It's to you to say, that person means what they say. And we'll discuss that here in a bit. How about this one? Any of you guys ever were in the military? Anybody here ever in the military? Okay. Do you remember your commitment? I'll go. What branch were you in?
Airport.
Same here. Thanks for your service. Appreciate it. Thanks for the family service. Here it is. I, Dave Pierce, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Do you hear what I'm solemnizing? The Constitution. I will defend the Constitution to all parties, foreign and domestic. That means outside here and inside here. That's what you agree to. Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to that Constitution. And I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. And when I was 17, that's the oath I took. Do you understand there's oaths all over the place? The president says that I do, and here's his, this is a long one. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, now listen to this, preserve, protect, and defend the people of the United States. No, to serve, protect, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. That's our oath. That's his job or her job. In the military, that's our job, is to defend the Constitution. Your birthright is by writ is to defend the Constitution. What about the people? You take care of that Constitution, everything else will be taken care of. Do you understand? When I hear people wanting to tear that down, do you understand that rips at my heart? Because there's not many countries at all, if ever, that have had that kind of distance laid out for them. This many years under the same Constitution? Do you understand France has had like 8 turnovers? Italy has had about the same, 6 or 7. Complete overhauls. You know, we have a peaceful transference of power. Not necessarily fun, but it's peaceful. It when they say peaceful, you don't have military coming in doing martial law and taking everybody out to put the new people in. Do you understand that? By the way, this ain't Cuba. How many presidents has that guy gone through? And now his brother's there. There's an oath that's sworn. For a police officer, that I will and truly serve our sovereign country and state as a police officer without favor or affection, malice or ill will, until I am legally discharged, that I will see and cause our community's peace to be kept and preserved, and that I will prevent to the best of my power all offenses against that peace. And that while I continue to be a police officer, I will, to the best of my skill and knowledge, discharge all the duties thereof faithfully according to the law. So help me God. Pretty crazy, huh? You know, the doctors have one too. I'm not going to read the new one because it's way too PC for me. But here, have you ever heard of a guy named Hippocrates? Have you heard of that? The father of modern medicine? He wrote this. 3500 BC. I swear by Apollo the healer, because that's the only gods he knew, right? By Asclepius and Hygieia and Panacea, and by all the gods and goddesses, making them my witnesses, I will carry out according to my ability and judgment this oath and indenture. To hold my teacher in this art equal to my own parents. My teacher is going to be on the same level as my parents. To make him a partner in my livelihood, when he is in need of money, I'll share mine with him. To consider his family and my own brothers and to teach them this art, they want to learn it without fee or indenture, or impart precept, oral instruction. All other instruction to my own sons, my sons of my teacher, and to indentured pupils who have taken the physician's oath, but to nobody else. I will use this treatment to help the sick according to my ability and judgment, but never with a view to injury or wrongdoing. Neither will I administer poison to anyone when asked to do so, nor will I suggest a course. And we voted for life ending here. Similarly, I will not give a woman a pessary. I will not give to a woman a pessary to cause an abortion. But I will keep pure and holy both my life and my art. I will not use the knife, not even verily, on sufferers from a stone. But I will give place as such to the craftsmen that are therein. So those guys can do it. I'm not skilled that way. In so whatever houses I enter, I will help the sick. I will abstain from the intentional wrongdoing and harm, especially from abusing the bodies of man or woman, bond or free, slave or free. And whatsoever I shall see or hear in the course of my profession, as well as outside my profession, in my intercourse with men, and meaning the dealings with men, it will be what should be not be published abroad. I will never divulge holdings of such things to be holy secrets. I'm not going to tell anybody about what's happening with our dialogue, right? So with that being said, you sign that HIPPO agreement, right? Which is short. Do you understand that it gives up all your information to a boatload of people, whoever wants to inquire? There's a network of information there, not kept solely with the doctor. now opened up to wherever and whatever. If I carry out this oath and break it not, may I gain forever reputation among all men for my life and for my art. But if I transgress it and forswear myself, may the opposite befall me. The modern version is so watered down and politically correct, it's not even recognizable. Do you think oaths matter? I will tell you, being a military man, my oath matters. Do you understand that there are 60 million men and 60 million women that had the ability to serve in the United States military right now? And we got 1.2. Did you know that? 18 to 44, I believe, is the age. So if any of you fall into that category, you have that ability and can be called up. Did you know that? Oaths mean something. They're words to the core. They're our anchor. Your word is your anchor. God's word is our anchor. An oath is sealed by an act of some sort. We talked about that. Raising the hand. Give testimony. Do you understand where the word testimony comes from? Have I taught this before? When a Roman centurion gave testament, he covered his lower region to swear on his lineage. I give testimony to what I'm saying. Isn't that something? We raise our hand. We have that witness oath. I won't bear false witness. You want to hear another oath? Go to Genesis 21 and 22. Father, your word as you see fitting, please blow it up in us. And it came to pass at that time when Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of this army, spoke to Abraham saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. And Abraham said, I will swear. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because the well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I don't know who has done this thing. You didn't tell me, nor had I heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and ox and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set seven ewe lambs off of the flock by themselves. Then Abimelech asked Abraham, what's the meaning of these seven ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, you take these seven ewe lambs from my hand that they may be my witness that I have dug this well, because you ain't going to bring nobody else in and take my well over. Therefore, he called the place Beersheba. Therefore, he called the place the Oath of Seven. Therefore, he called the place the Well of Oath. That's what Beersheba means, and we still use it to this day. Because the two men swore an oath. Because they made a covenant at the Oath of Seven, so Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines, and Abram planted a tamarisk tree near Beersheba, and they called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham said to the Philistines, stayed in that land many days. So what's going on here? Why did he give the cattle? Because it's tradition to give cattle in an agreement. But why did he give those extra seven? Let me tell you something. You've had something happen in your life that was ultra unusual that will come to remembrance to you when you went through a dealing. Something quite unusual happens, right? He wanted something unusual to happen, the extra seven to come out, to mark that time. Do you understand? We still call it Beersheba. Beersheba is actually said Beersheba. We still call it that today because of the seven sheep. That was an oath surrendered with the signet seal of the seven that all around would know that that's his well and your guys don't get to take over my well. But I love this. He says, you're a righteous dude, right? Swear to me before God that you will not deal falsely with me and my offspring, that's my children, and with my posterity, that's my lineage, but according to kindness that I have done to you, as you will dwell with me. Swear to me by God. Swear your name on God that will happen. And Abraham said, I swear it. He gave that swearing. I love that we see these guys come to terms together this way. This is kind of an insignificant little piece that happened here, but I think it's a wonderful little precursor, which is coming up in 22, and we'll delve into that here in a minute. But to see what God has to say about that, his promises, God's promises, oh my gosh. What did he do? Can you think of a promise of God? Of God, not Jesus. We'll get to Jesus in a minute. What's a promise of God? Say rainbow. Go ahead. Rainbow. Sinning like madmen, right? Flooded the earth, said he'd never do it again. The rainbow's a sign of it. So when you go outside and see that rainbow, that's ancient. That's an ancient promise, right? How about Noah? Eight. He said eight would stay. That's another promise. How about Abraham? Dude, you're going to have tons of lineage, as much as the stars in the sky and the sand or dust is to be counted. That's what your lineage is going to look like. That's another promise that he gave. Sarah, he gave a baby to in her old age. Moses, he gave the M&H, right? What's the M&H? Milk and honey, right? He said, your people are going to go out of 400 years of bondage. That's like 83,000 meals. It's some crazy amount of meals that they're eating there. That's how long it's been. Generations in the desert. 40 years just to run them through, right? Oh my gosh. And he let them go. But Moses took it on his own. Struck a rock in God's name and used God's name in vain. And God wouldn't let him move on. After all that sinning and even the one sin that he committed, he took his same placement as the authority of God as an oath. Didn't we? And he struck that stick and the water came out. And he never got to go in the M&H, right? He had to stay on the mountain. M&M, Moses and mountain. So let's look at one of them. Jeremiah 2, 9 and 11. Do you know why this promise is here? Watch. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, or I have to you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Woo-hoo! That's cool, isn't it? Doesn't that make you all like butterflies and happy and pretty little kittens, right? Well, let me tell you something. That's what he's telling them after they found out that they're going to go into 70 years of bondage. Dude, grow crops, live full. I know the plans I have for you. Stop freaking out, right? I know the trouble you're in. Stop freaking out. I don't have a desire to hurt you, but to prosper you, and that's not necessarily financially. That's to grow in that relationship with him and us, you know? Isaiah 40, 29 and 31 is the next ones. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But to those who wait on the Lord shall renew, look at that, renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's a promise of the Lord. Dude, get your eyes on him and build you up again. Kind of like we were talking about earlier when those times of depression. I got to go back to Scripture. I got to go to Scripture. I love that. Proverbs 1:33, please. But whoever listens to me, what's that say? There's some action there. Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. He's got us protected. Your body may get bruised, beaten, and battered, and you may have to suffer, but you're going home, and there ain't no suffering there. What does Jesus' promises look like in Romans 10 and 9? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will, and will is a promise, be saved. Why is that so important? Because we think we've lost our salvation in some form or another. If you genuinely committed to the Lord, and baptism is the seal, is the sign of that commitment. That's why we baptize people. I just know that it's time to have a baptism. We'll put our big feed trough up here, our big watering trough, and heat it up to a balmy 90-plus degrees and hold you under until you stop bubbling. More bubbles, more sin. That's it. We just put a rock on you, step on you a little bit. I don't think he's done yet. Leave him down there for a half hour. Play another song.
blah, blah, blah.
Right? That's the sign. That's the wedding ring. That's the signet. That's the sign to everybody that I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ. Did you get baptized? Yeah? Huh? As long as you bubbled out your mouth, we'll be good. So let's go to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin, so the payment for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. That's good news. How about Romans 8:37 and 39? I love this one. I love them all. You know what my favorite verse is? Genesis to Revelation. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ, Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, now listen, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. So that's a lot of folks there, right? And a lot of torment. Nor things present, nor things to come. Huh. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us, family, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I just don't think God loves me. Go read Romans. All right? Go read Romans 8:37 through 39. I just think God's mad at me. No, you're being goofy. You've walked away from Him. You've been away from Him. You haven't been in the Word. You've been taking the counsel of the world, and that has become your oath. Because we've listened to the world, right? God has tons to be said about this. Tons. Let's look a little further into Abraham here in 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and He said to Abraham, Abraham, and He said, here am I. Let me ask you a question. When God calls your name out, when He calls you out for prayer, do you say, here am I, or do you just turn the music up a little louder or start even doing more on social media? You know, I got to tell you, it saddens me. I can be in any kind of Bible study anywhere, even yours like last night. You'll be in there and guys are jacking up with their phone. It's like, really, you can't take 5 minutes to hear the Word of God? You can't take an hour off? Because I'm that same way too. Because when I'm in a study and I'm not teaching, I'll be like, oh, I got to go look that up. Most of mine is researching, you know. The thing is, we always tell folks, when you're on the phone, if you're texting to somebody, if you're out there doing stuff like that, please bring this word to somebody. If you got something bad to say, come see me about it, right? But I'll tell you what happens to me. Look, we got off cable at my household recently. I was so stoked. My cable bill was $250 a month. Yeah. I didn't know. I got the deal, right? The deal is way low. And then it's like hook, line, and sinker, right? Got me, right? So we cut it off. It's like, we're done. We're going to go off air. We found like 60 channels, and I'm learning new languages now, right? And with that being said, we hit a terabyte in 2 weeks because we got Roku TV. And we got Netflix and Hulu and somebody's ooh, right? And we went right on through. I didn't know that 1080p used up more streaming three times as much as 760p. I didn't know that my autoplay, I just was like, I shut the TV on. We went down to Tucson to that pastor leaders, and our Roku on two devices ran the whole time. Ran that bad boy up. Falling asleep watching TV through a movie, and it's still running. Clock's running. It's like leaving your car running, sitting in the garage, and the garage door's open. You're burning fuel. You're not going anywhere. We've been without TV in our house. I think the 6th of next month or the 7th it's supposed to come back. We basically just unplugged it, you know, the whole thing, so we don't, oops, because they charge you. You know they have a cap on this now, right? If you didn't know that, you haven't left your Roku on long enough, you know. Anyway, the time away has brought a bit of a sweetness again. Mary and I are dialoguing a lot more. I'm almost like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be elsewhere. I'm supposed to be watching TV right now, right? No. I'm having more time with the Lord. I'm finding myself, you know, I have something going on in the background. I'm back to watching some of those Christian stations I used to watch 12 years ago when we bought our TBN and some of those. I know some of it's kind of WWE of Christianity, but they got some really cool stuff in there too, right? And I'm starting to watch it again. It's like, oh my gosh, and I find myself reading the word or, you know, jotting a few more notes. And, you know, I just find myself having more time. And this stuff just eats away at my oath to the Lord that I would follow you wherever you wanted me to go. And that stuff starts cranking on my head and changing me. I'm not like Abraham. It says, now it came to pass. Abraham said, here I am. Let me come back to it. Abraham said, I am here. When I have all those other layers of insulation and God calls, I can't hear him. Do you know why? Because the honking noises are too loud. Right? Oh, it's dreadful. Here I am. He doesn't have all this distraction. Oh, he's running a tribe, and he's got enough people problems, but it's not compounded with other things as well. Now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land and offer him there as a burnt offering, one on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So take your only son. Take your only son. Take your only son and offer him. Take your only son and offer him. Take your only son and offer him. Well, wait a minute. Didn't he have Ishmael? Yeah, and Jesus had James. I love the kind of loose similarity that we're seeing here. He didn't say, take him up there and I'll provide you an offering. He said, take your son up and offer him to me. Your only son. Precious promises, stars in the skies, you know, sand and all the above. He had 3 days to think about it before he did it, right? And one a burnt offering on one of the mountains, and I'll tell you about later. Okay, here we have Abraham going out yet again to a place that he does not know where he's going, right? And he's willing to go because he's an older man now and he's got a few more miles with the Lord. So watch this. Abraham got up early. Why did he get up early? He's ready to do the work of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, in this day, offering children for grain growth or fertility in the family by stoking the fires and literally laying them on the grill was normal. Oh, that's a horrible thing to do. Yeah, so is 58 million children being killed in America. So we can have our choice. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for burnt offerings. He already got the wood ready. He knew how much he's going to have to take. He has made sacrifice before. Right? He sees the size of his boy and went to the place where God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship and we'll come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke, and you know what Isaac means? Laughter. Because his mom laughed that she was going to bear a child at her age. Took the wood, and he said, my father. And he said, here I am, son. Another, here I am. Abraham is in the moment of what's going on with the Lord and his son and in the relationships. He said, look, the fire and the wood, but here, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself. For himself. He's not sacrificing himself for Abraham. God is wanting the sacrifice. For the lamb, for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord, capital A, capital L, that's Jesus. A theophany, not a theophany, a Christology, a Christophany here. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And so Abraham says what? Here I am. Dude, you can't be fiddling around on your phone when you got a knife and you're fixing to sacrifice your boy. Right? Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you respect God, fear God, since you have not withheld even your son, your only son, from me. Do you understand that Jesus was not withheld from you? His only son. His only son. Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. And they called the place, The Lord Will is a promise, provide. What is your oath? What is your oath? What does your word mean? What are you giving us a beat down today? No, dude, I'm passionate about this stuff. Your word has to mean something. God has given you life. He has given you breath. He has given you a commission to fill, each and every one of you. We don't take the Lord's name in vain. What was happening in this time, we're going to go to Matthew here in just a minute. I'll give you the verse, but don't blow it up yet. Matthew 5, 33 through 37. What was happening during this time is that people were giving promises and swearing by the Lord's name, swearing by the hair on their head, swearing by their lineage that this was going to go down this way, right? And they were lying the whole time. Roll that, would you? Look at this, Matthew 5, 33, 37. Again, you have heard that it was said, those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear to all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne. Oh, I swear by heaven above, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool. Nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. I swear by Washington, D.C. I swear by all that's holy in Israel. I swear by Fort Lupton City Hall. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black. But let, and but means instead of all that, but let your what? Yes be your yes, and no be your no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So watch this. When you have a yes that means no, you just honored Satan. When you have a no that means yes, you just honored Satan. Your word has to be what it is. Well, does that mean when I go, if I'm not supposed to swear oaths, what happens if I go to the witness? You swear your witness oath. The core of your heart is yes to God. Your no to no is always first and foremost to him. That's why I don't put out those promises often. But I'm firm on other things too. Your yes has to be, your yes can't be yes and then kind of maybe. What was that? What was that? That I can't remember the scripture where he talks about either be hot or cold for me, right? Or I'll you out of my mouth. Do you know why that was hot or cold? Because the waters of Colossae were fresh mountain spring water. The waters of Hierapolis were mineralized, much like we would see hot sulfur springs. But the waters of Laodicea, to the first traveler, they would come into the brackish water and they would drink it and spit it out until they got used to it. I don't want the Lord spewing me out. That means I'm not in him. That means he's not in me. Your yes has to be your yes. Your no has to be your no. You need to be truthful in your actions and in your purposes. Be truthful in these. Everything else is in Lucifer's name. Isn't that crazy? Are you feeling the burden negative? Don't. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Just be mindful. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you're putting your signet ring to. Think about what you're putting your credit card to. I don't know how you want to call that. If you've given your word to somebody that you're going to do something, you need to follow through or back down and stand down. You know, one thing I like being around people that are about their word. You guys know I've talked for years about this, that you lie to me. It's hard for me to believe you a second time. It really is hard for me because I grew up in a house of liars. And if they said it was the sky was blue outside, it was 85 degrees and it was blue, no clouds, I'd still go out and have to check just to be sure. That's why I still double check to this day. I'm anal about it because I cannot stand lies. I don't do well with them. So for me, this is easy pickings. Oh, I had my days when my yes was my, yeah, I'll help you move. Oh, we've done that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know what, guys? It's really simple. Don't get beat up too hard. Just be mindful from today forward. Because you come with the authority of Jesus Christ when you go into a room. Did you know that? When you go to your employee, when you go to your home, when you go anywhere, you go with the authority of Jesus Christ. You know, he sang that song, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. Isn't that wild? That we're going to be looking at this come Resurrection Sunday. That's power. Roman signet seal. We got to figure it out, but on Good Friday night, we're going to run the movie Risen here at 7. You're welcome to come to it. I'll fire it out to an email. If you don't have your email, if we don't have your email, you ain't hearing about it. Okay? Yeah, it's that one. It just don't play Blu-ray. Oh, sorry, Lord. That power. That's what you walk into a room with. And I'll tell you what, I don't take that for granted. I know what my house is, and I know what it's not. And when I am failing in my home, it shows. You want to know where it shows? In my wife, in my relationships. But when God is winning, oh my God, it's such a sweetness. Last piece, up in Laramie last week, great time up there. Great bunch. You're going to love your family up there in Wyoming. You're going to love them if you ever get to meet them. Oh, you will. That's right. We're all going to heaven, kind of, maybe. Unless Jesus is in your Savior, then you just go to hell. But just saying. You know what? We were teaching there and heard from the Lord, pray. Call the people up for prayer. We had some folks come down to pray. You know, you've seen it, where they meet down at the bottom of the aisle. Myself, I jump down. I mean, if I'm going to call it, I need to be a part to it. So this big old mammoth-looking guy with a beard from here to next year, you know. I mean, his beard would come in a half an hour before he would. It's so big. And he puts his paw on me, and he starts praying for me. And I'm telling you, dude, that was a Holy Spirit-led righteous prayer. I'm like, bro, I got a break from this, man. I got to go do it. But no, stay here, pray, get it, just receive it. And went out and started praying for folks in the audience. But I told them, I says, go into the audience and pray for the people. We're not going to do that today. But I said, go into the audience and pray for the people. And I'm telling you, dude, there is some serious brokenness going on in people's lives. Serious brokenness. Serious stuff going on. Come up, Diane. And you know something? You see God going out and touching Christians. Are broken. This isn't a hurting world. This is Christians. This is Christians. And to see them come in and have to deal with that stuff, God spent time. He took time to come in and have us pray with them. One gal lost a baby. Here, you can come around here. One gal lost a baby a year ago and was pregnant with another. He's so cute. I have a picture baby. It's like you got a string bean. Yay. And she was like, yay. And then the tears came. I'm like, what happened? We lost a baby a year ago, and I almost died in the midst of it. And her big, tall, handsome husband is seriously, severely quiet, but he's just tremoring inside. And we got to pray with him through that and had the other people lay hands on each other and just pray. Come along beside each other in prayer, you know? It's crazy. Y'all, don't lie. Get out there and talk with people about Christ. Just ask them, how can I pray for you? We prayed a lot over the last few days, huh? Mm-hmm. Her husband, you guys know Eduardo? He sits over here. Nice fella. He's real quiet. You hear him all the time. He's so quiet, right? Well, he's in a bad way. You want to kind of hold that up about here?
Hello?
Yep, he's got you. Everything's ready to go.
My husband was...
What about your chin? Hmm? Right about your chin.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go. It's going to sound weird, but it's okay.
Anyway, first and foremost, I think prayer is powerful. And things could have probably turned out a lot worse than what did. But he's had a history of diverticulitis. And long story short, he ended up with a bowel obstruction. Last Sunday, went into the hospital. They did surgery on Monday afternoon, and it was more complicated than what they anticipated. So, which complicated his condition a lot. So, he kind of went into like a septic shock. So
you guys know what septic shock is? It means your body's full of poison.
Yeah. So, they
kind of poopy poison.
Yes.
Sorry.
Feel sorry for that surgeon.
But yeah.
But anyway, thank God that the nurses and the doctors and everything at the hospital were on it. So they recognized right away, obviously, and got him turned around really quickly. So with that said, he had a mass that they said could be cancer, but thank God we found out it's not cancer. So we're real grateful for that. So so he's healing. He's still in the hospital. He probably will be there for a few more days yet. So,
And is he still in ICU?
No. He's over on the med surgical side, which is good.
Is that a stand down or is that in a room?
That's just in a room. It's okay. Not the step down.
Okay.
There's ICU step down and the med surgical.
So he's
over there now.
Okay.
So until he can have full solid foods and stuff, he'll probably, you know, be there. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we just appreciate all your prayers.
But that's
not
the end of the story.
The end of the story.
You have a daughter?
I have a daughter who broke her ankle 2 weeks ago that had surgery the same day Ed had surgery. Same time, same day.
Same time, same day. And then there was a brother? An uncle? She prayed for an uncle?
Oh, her uncle?
Yeah.
Jaime, who has been in the, has been seriously ill for a while. He's over in, I think, Vibra Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been praying for him, and he's doing better from what I understand. So.
And then this last year, Ed lost his sister.
Sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law. Yeah. That's what I said. But you know what? This Diane, she's just a sweetie. And Eduardo, they're sweetie. And little Delilah, you know, she's just our little prayer beast, you know. And I'm going to ask the women to come up right now and lay hands on this woman. All you women, if you're a woman, come up. I got you. Honey, why don't we come over here? We're going to set you and Grandma down right here so you guys can just sit down. And then ladies, you can grab a row front or rear. Just lay hands on her and just pray. Come on up.
Thank you,
guys, be praying. Just lay hands out to pray.
Thank you.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the goodness that you are bestowing on this family.
Yes. Father, we lift up Eduardo to you, and we do thank you, Father. We want to thank you for these stages right now. He's in a room. He's not in step down. He's not in ICU. He's in a room. Lord, I just pray that his body just is strengthened right now, and more of good food, good health comes his way, Lord, please. We thank you in advance. We pray for healing of the broken ankle and the uncles that are a challenge, and just all the stuff that comes. We want to thank you for Delilah, that she's got on her heart and desire to pray. Lord, she's an example to the rest of us of the need for prayer. The need for prayer. We can walk into a room and think everything's just fine. And it may be, but many times there's a prayer need. And if we're fogging a mirror, there's not a person without a prayer need. So we thank you for Diane. We thank you for her consistency here and her just love for you. In my personal time of prayer with her on the phone, Lord, you can just hear her heart. You can hear her heart, and it's just sold out lock, stock, and barrel for you. Father, we pray the men in this room that they are charged with praying with for Eduardo throughout the next few days. We charge the women for praying with Diane and Delilah throughout the next few days. And Father, we look forward to your healing as you see fitting. We pray this in your name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Guys, thank you so much. Thank you. As we're closing out, what was your takeaway from today? What did you hear today? Make sure you don't walk away without a hug. Get back over the hug line. You got to get the hug. You women, hug that up. You girls, they need hugs. What did you hear today, guys? Gals, what did you hear today? Go. Say what? God keeps his promises. That's a model for us, right? What'd you hear, bro? Anything you jot down? You want to share? Okay, that's fine. Sis, what'd you hear? Yes is yes and no is no. Pretty simple, huh? All right. You guys, thanks so much. I just want to encourage you as a reminder, you know, Ed and Diane have been kind of taking care of the facilities around here as one of their ministries, and they've stepped down from that while Eduardo's getting back up, so we could use some help getting the trash cleaned up, a quick sweep down on floors, cleaning up of the counters and bathrooms. We can just all throw in on that. That'd be great. Make sure to remember on Resurrection Sunday, one service, 10 o'clock, be there or be obtuse. All right, guys. God bless you. We'll see you soon.